Shri Prabhupada's disappearance day, New Vrindavan, 2015, Srimad Bhagavatam class 428.
Comes to the city of Nine Gates, which is very resplendent because that city is in Bharadvarsha, meaning offering the opportunity for self-realization. King Puranjana misses the point, not completely. He engages in fruitive activities, although pious, but in the city of Nine Gates, was surrounded by beautiful lakes and gardens, which means a romantic setting. He was enchanted by a beautiful young girl. He married her, had so many children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And he passed his days not realizing that the city was about to be conquered by barbarians who would drag him out of the city, all the while being pierced by the horns of the animals he had offered in sacrifice, to finally give up his body while thinking of his wife. But because there was some piety in his life, in his next birth he was Vidarbha, who was born in an aristocratic family, pious, and she married Malayadvaj, whose very name means he was fixed in devotional service, and the victory flag of bhakti flew vividly in the sky. As the allegory proceeds, Malayadvaj is the guru, Vidarbha is the disciple, and she is very dedicated to her Swami. And he is very committed to Rajashri Dharma. So at the proper age, he left for the forest where he engaged in tapasya for the purpose of self-realization. And Vidarbha, his queen, served him faithfully. And she became thin and emaciated by her tapasya. And when the king was not showing consciousness because he was so absorbed in self-realization, it was only because as she was massaging his feet and they grew cold, she understood that he had departed. So weeping bitter, she offered her prayers, prepared a funeral pyre, and was just about to enter into the fire herself when an old brahmana approached her and asked, "Who is this king and who are you? What are you doing in this solitary place? Do you recognize me? I'm that old Brahmin friend of the king." And then he speaks this verse. I'll read the previous ones for further context. "My dear friend, I, the super soul, and you, the individual soul, are not different in quality in our constitutional position. We are like two swans living together in the heart. When the one swan is instructed by the other," meaning when the soul is guided by the super soul, he is situated in his constitutional position. This means he regains his original Krishna consciousness, which was lost because of his material attraction. Girt more by his divine grace, he's the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Here it is clearly stated, Hamso Hamsena Pratibodhita. The individual soul and the super soul are both compared to swans, hamsa, because they are white or uncontaminated. One swan, however, is superior and is the instructor of the other. When the inferior swan is separated from the other, he becomes attracted by material enjoyment. This is the cause of his fall down. When he hears the instructions of the other swan, he understands his real position and is again revived to his original consciousness. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna comes down, avatar, to deliver his devotees and kill the demons. He also gives his sublime instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita. The individual soul has to understand his position by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, because the text of Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood simply by academic qualification. One has to learn Bhagavad Gita from a realized soul. Tadvidi paripratena paripasnena sevaya upadeksyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatadarshana. Thus one has to select a bona fide spiritual master and become enlightened to his original consciousness. In this way, the individual soul can understand that he was always subordinate to the super soul. As soon as he declines to remain subordinate and tries to become an enjoyer, he begins his material conditioning. When he abandons the spirit of being an individual owner or enjoyer, he becomes situated in his liberated state. The word swastha, meaning situated in one's original position, is very significant in this verse. When one gives up his unwanted attitude of superiority, he becomes situated in his original position. Om again, please repeat. In this way,
both swans
live together
in the heart.
When the one swan
is instructed by the other,
he is situated
in his constitutional position.
This means he regains his original Krishna consciousness, which was lost due to material attraction. Om Aganata Namandasya Aganatana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militami Tasmai Shri Guru Nama. Narada Muni is nearing the conclusion of the story of King Pichindabhari told in allegorical manner. Because the king was not prepared to take up devotional service as yet. And the allegory of King Paranjana, who is King Pichindabhari and is also us, and his future challenges and potential victory is being described here toward the conclusion of the allegory. In the beginning, Narada Muni is explaining that King Paranjana had one friend whose name was Avijñāta, which means the unknown one. And then Avijñāta isn't mentioned again, but he reappears unnamed at the end as the Brahmana who approaches Vidarbha just as she's about to enter into the fire. And he uses it, and he doesn't introduce himself because he explains his actual position in nature as well as hers, which is actually ours. We're like two swans living in the same lake, meaning two souls, which are like swans white in their original position, they're pure and contaminated. The lake means our whole homeland, the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada also, he exemplified the qualities of the queen, who is the devoted disciple . He says in his instructions, it is proper for the disciple to cry, as Vidarbha did upon the departure of Sri Guru, and be prepared to enter into the fire, which means better give up your own life than fail to cling to his instructions. Better yet, to commit to his instructions and fulfill them until your last breath. And Srila Prabhupada, in his own offering to his beloved Gurudev after his departure in this world, said, hearing the news, I cried in grief. This is the appropriate sentiment. Today we are celebrating one of the most sacred mysteries of Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. How the deepest communion with both Gurudev and Krishna is found not in their union, but paradoxically in their separation, in which an added component of inconceivable simultaneous union in separation gives added support to our spiritual lives. And therefore, it is an important principle of sadhana to, as a daily practice, and we say it in the prayers we sing in Mangalarti, at least three times a day, I should remember the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Every day we should meditate on devotees, especially on the most blessed occasions of their appearance and disappearance in this world. Not meditate passively, but by remembering them, praying to them, glorifying them in kirtan, because the lives of the great souls are so deeply enriched with the sweetness of the loving exchanges characteristic of the spiritual world, which they extend to us in this world to practice das, das, anudas, to prepare for returning back to home. And their narrations of the great souls and about the great souls flood our ears and inundate our hearts with that nectar, which is like a spiritual tonic in its purifying influence. And in relishing the topics of Krishna and his devotees, we become attracted to the compassion that they embody. And from that attraction, we develop a proper kind of attachment. And that attachment to Sri Guru is the perfection of bhakti. Because Krishna himself says so many things. He says, I am the Acharya, who is the abode of all the gods, especially Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, meaning creation, maintenance, and destruction, not of the world, but of our spiritual lives. So, whatever show of devotion we display as our commitment to Krishna, know for sure that Krishna will not accept if the offering is not made through his delegated representative, the Guru. Krishna will reject our offerings if we do not show the proper respect towards Gurudev. Why? Because of the pride indicated in thinking that we have qualification to approach Krishna directly. Our only hope is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls, which refers specifically to their instructions. An example. Sri Guru is the embodiment, the incarnation of Krishna's mercy. And therefore, when he sees the suffering condition of souls in this world, he prays to Krishna on their behalf, and the Lord then turns his merciful glance and directs his blessings to the object of the Acharya's compassion. And though it's impossible to glorify Srila Prabhupada properly and adequately, we must do so nonetheless, because only by that process can we overcome our anarthas. If we refrain from trying to glorify Srila Prabhupada, being overwhelmed by our disqualifications, those anarthas will simply persist. It was Nandotsa, by Krishna's wonderful arrangement, that Abhay Charan took birth in this world. Very significant. Because the morning of Nandotsava, nobody, even in Vrindavan, knew that at midnight, Mother Yashoda had given birth to a baby boy. That news was proclaimed throughout Nandagram, and from there throughout all of Braj, on Nandotsava. And on Nandotsava, 1896, outside of Braj, and to a lesser degree, outside of India, no one knew the real principles of Krishna consciousness. Abhay Charan was exemplary, is exemplary, in how he takes to heart the instructions of his guru. Which we all know, at their first meeting in 1922, Srila Prabhupada was dressed in a khadi cloth, indicating that he was a supporter of Gandhi, and more so of Subhash Chandra Bose, that militant nationalist in the class ahead of him in school. And before even getting up from offering obeisances, with his first meeting with his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave him his life mission. You're intelligent, young man. Preach the message of Mahaprabhu in the Western English. English-speaking world. And how he succeeded indicates how success lies in a deep realization which comes from empowerment to be able to adapt the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition to the varying material circumstances of the world, extending Lord Caitanya's gift of Braj Bhakti to one and all. And if you look at the cornerstones of that empowerment, what did Srila Prabhupada demonstrate in the most exemplary manner? Humility. Not a dry, sterile, abstract humility, but a very dynamic and living one. Because he was often extremely demanding, which he would quickly realize in his physical presence, and uncompromising. Why? Out of love for the Lord he represents and desiring a high standard of service to please Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. It is said that what Muhammad accomplished by the sword and Christianity with vast wealth, Srila Prabhupada exceeded. By what resources? Deep humility, exceptional sincerity, commitment, and devotion are the cornerstones upon which the stage of divine love sets, allows the drama to unfold. And he ushered us, actually into the Leela of Lord Gauranga, spreading the holy name to every town and village. Here in New Vrindavan, he revealed the inner dynamics of the holy Dham. He instructed both by life and precepts, that's what acharya means. And he did so until his very last breath, and he continues to do so hereafter. He ushered in the golden age as prophesied by Sri Krishna himself to Gangadevi. And in his final days in this world, in his Rapu form, Srila Prabhupada revealed a deeper intimacy with the devotees as preparation for the realizations which would follow as he led us into deeper realizations of the dynamics of the guru-disciple relationship and potential. As Srila Prabhupada was preparing to depart this world, and he was bedridden for some time, the exchanges were becoming increasingly intimate and sweet and revealing. As when Harikesh answered the call to come to him, carrying books just off the printing press in German, was the German trilogy, Krishna book, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sri Upanishad in Yugoslavian, and Srila Prabhupada held up the book, Krishna book, and tears flooded his eyes as he admired the painting of Radha. reached out to pat Hare Krishna on the head, who felt unqualified to receive such appreciation, which was tangible to all the devotees who are aware of the sacrifices that Hare Krishna made and the great personal risk of preaching and distributing books behind the Iron Curtain. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, we didn't receive the message here in Vrindavan, but everybody else did, that he was extending invitations for all devotees to come and be with him. And even when Srila Prabhupada was at Bombay, eagerly awaiting the opening of the temple, which he had sacrificed so much to see, and he said, if I could just live long enough to see the opening, then I can die in peace. But then the indications of his imminent departure became more dramatic, and he said, I have to return to India, to Vrindavan. And Tamal Krishna said, well, what about the devotees who are just living to open this temple? They'll all want to go to Vrindavan with you. He said, let them come. And as devotees gathered around Srila Prabhupada, a beautiful reciprocation. How he had dedicated his life to spreading the holy name to every town and village, offering braj bhakti to one and all. And now, bedridden, awaiting his ascension to the spiritual sky, he was surrounded by those devotees from every country of the world, all chanting Hare Krishna for his pleasure. And the devotees marveled, this is just like Bhishma Dev, who to his final breath was teaching with such clarity. In the presence of Krishna. Now, both the Lord and his devotees, as well as the individual devotees, have individual will, which is one at its in intent, but displays variegatedness. As with Damodara Leela, Mother Jashoda is trying to capture Krishna and bind him. And he's trying to escape. When she finally captured him and bound him to the grinding mortar, he turns to her with tears flowing from his eyes, washing the mascara down his face, pleading, yes, I did it. I broke the yogurt pot. And then he turns the other direction. His friends are there. Just escape. Just try dragging him. They were coaching him how to escape from Mother Jashoda. So he looked at his friends and smiled. I'll do it. He turns to Mother Jashoda and cries. And the tears are flowing. He turns to his friends. Yeah, escape. And he turns and cries and turns and smiles. And everybody has a different idea on how to serve. Mother Jashoda's thinking, I have to bind him and correct him because he can't resist stealing butter. And the French are saying, give us the butter. And the monkeys are there eager for their share. So in that month of Damodar, in his room in Vrindavan, extremes of individual desire were being expressed and harmonized in the most wonderful ways. Demonstrating how Srila Prabhupada is perfect in relating intimately to the human condition while always remaining aloof and transcendental from it. And he had demonstrated numerous times how he had defied and he defied death and prolonged his time by Krishna's grace and the devotee's prayers and his own indomitable mood of fighting on behalf of Krishna. And he was declaring it openly and even verbally to the devotees. devotees who had been with Srila Prabhupada in the very beginning, when it was very intimate and sweet, said that this was even deeper. And what was it, more than anything, that attracted us to Srila Prabhupada? You could say it was the prasadam or the kirtans or the philosophy or whatever. But underlying it all was his affection. Ultimately, everyone turns to those who show them affection, even a dog. So the tension was increasing between Srila Prabhupada hearing Krishna's call, like the great ambassador in a foreign land being called back to his home country. But the devotee's pleading with him, how can we go on? It is only your presence holding Kali at bay. He said, what can I do with Krishna Balaram? But we're not mature. And there's so many enemies of the movement. But when would Kali Yuga cease to be? When would the enemies ever be gone? When would the devotees ever be fully mature? And when would we ever be willing to let him go? But Srila Prabhupada was leaning both towards Krishna's call for him to return home, as well as the devotee's plea that you stay with us. He was reciprocating so intimately with each and every one, while making it clear that he had to embrace the final lesson, which everyone has to face, but is so fearful we deny it and avoid it and distract ourselves from the inevitable. We're all going to have to die. And he was consigning his life to the prayers of the faithful. Giving free access to one and all. And he was teaching that love is superior to death. And a pure devotee can overstay his allotted time in this world by the disciple's love, who can even call the guru back after he had departed, which we see many instances of in Gaudiya Vaishnava history. And then when his sister, Bhishma, arrived. And, you know, up until this time, the devotees were just trying to encourage Srila Prabhupada to take liquids. He hadn't eaten solid food for some time. And it was difficult to persuade him even to take liquids, knowing that if he didn't do that, then there'd be no question of him staying much longer. So when Bhishma arrived, what did she do? Cook kachoris. Because Srila Prabhupada in his youth was not so much the butter thief as the kachori thief. And the devotees were shocked. You're going to cook kachoris for him in this condition? Srila Prabhupada said, let her do whatever she wants. It'll be good for me because she's a Vaishnava. And then he said, whatever happens, you can see that Krishna is shattering my pride. The devotee's perplexed to hear such statements. He said, yes. Opulence and success followed me, and I probably became a little puffed up. And now Krishna is shattering that, because what do you have to be puffed up about when you lose your body? And this is very difficult for the devotees to hear. And more Srila Prabhupada, because his godbrothers were starting to come to him at this time, and the standard approach was that he would beg their forgiveness. which was also perplexing to the devotees. Forgiveness for his offenses. And Bhakti Chirusami asked, Srila Prabhupada, you're Krishna's dear one, how can you commit offenses? He said, well, I was temperamental. And I used strong, harsh words like rascal. And I was uncompromising. They called it club in one hand and Srimad Bhagavatam in the other. So forgive my offenses. I was proud of my opulences. And Puri Maharaj said, success and opulence naturally followed you, like the maid servants of the queen of bhakti. They naturally follow your preaching. And Srila Prabhupada said, but I'm Mahapatita, the most fallen. He said, no, you're Mahapatita Bhavana, the savior of the most fallen. And the devotees were observing these dealings and were puzzled because they had never seen so brilliantly displayed the gem of his humility, because the Mahabhagavat has to step down to the second class platform of Madhyam Adhikari in order to preach, which requires some discrimination between the demons, the innocent, and the devotees. That discrimination was now being overridden as the gem of his humility and the qualities of the Mahabhagavat were shining more clearly as a symptom of the highest stage of devotion, of which he had told us about, but not demonstrated so vividly until the final days. And then the loving conflict really escalated when Srila Prabhupada heard reports of Lokanath Swami's preaching Sankirtan parties in ox carts traveling through India. He said, I want to go on an ox cart. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, I've been constantly, Srila Prabhupada, if anybody wants you to travel, I do, but not in this condition. He said, yes, we'd go on parikrama of Braj Mandala, or at least the seven temples. We can circumambulate an ox cart. Just so bad, you won't survive. I won't die in one day. Consider it a one-day experiment. But then, the next day, was Govardhan Puja. He said, we will go on Govardhan Parikrama. And Lokanath Swami is such a good pick, a good cook. We'll have a picnic on Govardhan Hill, traveling by ox cart. And Lokanath Goswami, who found an ally in Hansaduta, they went out and got the ox cart and the teamster and were preparing everything. Oh, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhakti Chirusami were on the opposite end of the spectrum, saying, how can this be? So then, again, amongst the most favorable of all Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers was Puri Maharaj. So he again came by. And Srila Prabhupada was talking so freely with him, even joking, which was very intimate. And then later at night, when they were talking, Tamal Krishna Maharaj came back into the room, just tears flowing from his eyes. And Srila Prabhupada said, you don't want me to go. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, you're causing us too much anxiety. Prabhupada, we are so attached to you, it is driving us to the brink of madness. He said, no, I won't do that. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada, the way you deal with us just makes us more and more attached. He said, that's my duty. Because he was capturing these souls by love and offering them to Krishna. That's his duty. So, and then, you know, were seized by an unrestricted grief and anguish of soul. And they could only see the world as dark and ominous. And all of nature reflected their sorrow. In the heart of the month of Kartik, we offer lamps demonstrating illumination, lighting the path, kindling the spirit in the heart of that most resplendent month, which is sweet and joyful. Srila Prabhupada departed this world, and it seems so antithetical, so contradictory in a sense. Our only solace, which was his books, which he had prepared us to take shelter in all along. And as with that exchange with Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that the books were his life and soul. When he was living in Vrindavan, in Radha Damodar Mandir, where from his room he could see the deities of Radha Vrindavan Chandra, worshipped by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and through the lattice, Rupa Goswami Samadhi. He was at home, he was peaceful, but he wanted to extend that experience to all the world. So he went home, and from there he departed. Our only shelter, our only solace was his books, where we turned. And there is the story of Vidarbha, ready to enter into the fire, and the old Brahmana introduces himself. And this part of the allegory is when Gurudev departs, and you'd rather give up your life and fail to follow his instructions, and you meet the super soul. And he gives solace, shelter, and guidance, and assistance to follow Gurudev's instructions. It was the most difficult experience to face, but in it we found a new face in the object of our service. Because Srila Prabhupada had spoken so much and so feelingly of developing feelings of separation, which was not palatable at the time. And our understanding of ecstasy in separation and union in separation was merely theoretical from his books. And yet those books was our only shelter. Turning there for guidance, we found that what had been theoretical became realized. That Srila Prabhupada was in his books, not different from his books. And in embracing his vani, his instruction, he was present with us in a deeper communion than we had ever known before. Enriched by that inconceivable added dimension of love and separation. And why did Srila Prabhupada so much emphasize the Goswami's mood? He would say, they're not saying we met Krishna. They're always pleading, where is Krishna? What is so purifying about feelings of separation? First, you have to develop some attraction. And by following in the footsteps and following the instructions, you develop a little affection. And as love matures and separation follows, separation means you can't think of anything other than the beloved. And that fire of separation burns away anarthas, impediments, obstacles, distractions. And the object of your love appears more resplendent in a heart which blazes with feelings of separation. And by that focus, the object of our devotion becomes more vivid than ever and interacts, reciprocates with us in unprecedented, intimate ways. When Srila Prabhupada was gone from this world, he became ever more present. And it wasn't some sentiment or some kind of telepathy. It was a very palpable, substantial, practical reality. Otherwise, how could we go on? Not only go on, not only live, but actually increase our service. He had awarded his personal service to his vapu, physical mortal form, and with his departure he offered the opportunity to immortalize that seva by committing ourselves more wholeheartedly to his instructions, where we find all the nectar of his association still available. Srila Prabhupada so much emphasized him teaching us how to die with dignity and grace. And we mistakenly thought that that was his final lesson. And we very happily discovered that beyond that lesson was the final and ongoing lesson of how, beyond dying, to live in the light of the highest scriptural truth, granting testimony to our great hope and faith that Srila Prabhupada will always be with us so long we cling to his instructions. His presence remains and expands as testimony that he is still with us. And yet, the inner truth of Srila Prabhupada's personality will forever remain concealed to those who fail to embrace not merely the form, but the essence of all he taught and demonstrated, which is the gift of the Six Goswamis: loving service now in the realm of separation. So, like the Brahman who is from the beginning of the story, Avidyata, the unknown one, the friend who helped King Puranjana in his heroic deeds. He's now returning to Puranja in his next life, introducing himself. I am that old friend who's with you like the other swan in the same heart. And this means that from the anguish of separation emerges a new relationship. We should have thought of that. Now, Goswamis, which applies not only to the residents of Vrindavan, who after Krishna left them, was more present with them in their hearts, in their thoughts, in their anticipation of meeting with him again. This reality applies equally to the guru-disciple relationship, because we can't know Krishna except in and how Srila Prabhupada revealed him to us. And it is a great drawback to try to limit Srila Prabhupada to our experience of him or our individual understanding of his instructions. And it is in the communion with like-minded souls, hearing how he has touched the hearts of individual men, individual devotees in such personal ways, that we expand our experience of community, which when it grows strong, expands into sharing the message. And sharing Srila Prabhupada's gift. But the environment here was very much focused on completing the palace in time for Srila Prabhupada to take up residence there. But it became increasingly clear that that was not going to be realistic. So why do we continue building the palace, which was intended for his residence, when it was clear he would depart this world before taking up residence there? We knew that the purpose would be revealed in time. And because that was so much central focus of the community activities at that time, that when that dreadful news arrived that the fateful day has come, he returned to the upper Katalila of Krishna, and everything just seemed empty and void. And our purpose for going on seemed futile. It was an irresistible impulse to congregate at the palace that night. But because it was unfinished, you know, there was no significant lighting there, so we draped Christmas lights down the domes, so you could only see an outline of the palace as the devotees approached to congregate there in Kirtan that tonight. And when the devotees entered the temple room in the palace, Srila Prabhupada's picture on the altar, and began, you know, the Mangala Charanam, and then invocation mantras leading into Hare Krishna. It was somewhat reminiscent of the Khetri Mahotsav, the first grand Gopuranam celebration after Lord Gauranga had left this world. And as the devotees took shelter in Kirtan, first, the feelings of separation became deeper and more profound, to the extent, and it practically occurred here that night, the devotees were literally holding one another up. Because chanting Hare Krishna just aggravated the feelings of separation, that we all wanted to just leave this world and go with Srila Prabhupada. And the devotees in that kirtan were literally holding one another up as the tears were flowing and then continued chanting. And nobody wanted to leave that kirtan. It was like we were afraid to leave the palace. We were afraid to leave the kirtan because it was our only shelter throughout that night. But some of us were pujaris, so around 3 o'clock in the morning we had to start thinking about preparing to wake the deities at our respective temples. So I went into Srila Prabhupada's study to take a nap for just a few minutes, thinking that we have a long day ahead of us. And as soon as I entered the study, I felt from the temple room where the kirtan was reaching the very depths of separation. And then returning to the kirtan, suddenly, unmistakably, and inconceivably, the current of kirtan ras shifted and began flowing from the other direction. And the devotees became overcome with a feeling of ecstasy as they had never experienced before. And there was one devotee who, you know, for years, devotees would try to get him to dance, and he wouldn't. He would respectfully do the Swami step before the deities, but devotees would do everything and they could never get him to dance. When suddenly they're looking at the bottom of his feet as he's rising into the air in uncontrollable, undeniable ecstasy, which seemed so contradictory and antithetical at the time, was irresistible nonetheless. So when it was actually time to wake the deities, and then the pujaris went back to their respective temples and then started mingling with one another, you know, throughout the day, you experienced that. And everybody did. What was it? And there were some devotees who had been with Srila Prabhupada in the early days, serving him very intimately and confidentially. And even they said, that experience was nothing like what transpired last night. Everybody had a slightly different experience of it, but everyone's conclusion was unanimous. We never felt so close to Srila Prabhupada as in the palace that night, which is tonight. And then everything just took on a different context and perspective. And Srila Prabhupada had said he would come to live in the palace, and he also said he was already living in the palace. But what did that mean? We came to realize that palace is his samadhi. Not the only samadhi. His bhusamadhi is Vrindavan, where his sacred body is placed as a blessing into the earth. Pushpa samadhi in Mayapur. Smriti samadhi in Vrindavan. The only samadhi that was graced by his physical visits and instructions on how to complete the construction. So So of the different wonders that contribute to the magic of the Dham, the presence of Srila Prabhupada's Smriti Samadhi here is high on the list. He reasons ill, who tells that Vaishnavas die. For they are living still and sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and life means spreading the holy name around. So then we resume construction of the palace and finished it with great eagerness that Srila Prabhupada has accepted our offering in a more wonderful way than we could ever have imagined. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments? It's a confession, meant to remain anonymous. Some things are irresistible. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Your program today at 10:15, and I can probably glorify Srila Prabhupada by his slideshow.